Well, we are blessed again this week to have Pastor Glenn give us our message.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. We'll start with reading this morning's scripture. It's out of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Amen. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Father, I just pray your presence here. We welcome your presence here. I would ask that my words be your words, Lord. You know the hearts of every soul here, Lord, and just pray that they hear from me what they need to hear from you, Lord. And we just give you the glory and praise in everything we do here this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been back here a few times here, so I'm getting to feel like I know this congregation a little bit. I don't remember what sermons I've preached, because I always preach the sermon here that I've got queued up for my congregation. But I can tell you my sermons generally run down three tracks, and a couple of my congregation are here, so now they'll probably start tracking what Glenn's preaching on. They'll be trying to figure it out. But I'm preaching a message of salvation. Every now and then I just feel led, you know, we gotta talk salvation. Sometimes I preach a message of being boldly sent. You know, Jesus commissioned these disciples and he boldly sent them. And I will categorize this as a boldly sent one. And so I'm giving you the punchline. This is a boldly sent sermon. And then other times I preach them on strengthening and edifying the saints. You know, it's like what I would consider general teaching and knowledge. And, you know, we got to do that stuff as well to strengthen and train and all of that. But this is a boldly sent message because that's what Jesus was doing with his disciples at this time. And I think it's kind of interesting. I'm going to start off with there are things about this gospel and there are things about following Jesus that are scary. And I preached a little bit about this last week. I had 3 points last week, and this is kind of a trail off of those 3 points. So you get the Cliff Note version. I told him, I said, following the Lord is at times scary. When you watch the movie of Jesus, there was the movie called Jesus, came out in 2000, and Mary Magdalene was in this movie. And at one point in the movie, Mary Magdalene was talking to Jesus' mother. And, you know, Mary Magdalene was known as a prostitute, and she was not the type of person that you would expect, you know, a leading rabbi to be hanging out with, nor would you expect him to be hanging out with tax collectors and everything else. But at one point in the movie, I thought it was interesting, Jesus' mother asked Mary, she says, "Well, what do you think about Jesus?" And it was a priceless answer. Mary Magdalene says, "He scares me. He just scares me." And I thought, you know, I've never done a sermon on how Jesus is scary, but if you radically follow Jesus, He's going to scare you at times, because when you submit, there's no scarier prayer, I don't think, than saying, "Your will be done." If you're going to radically follow the Lord and you pray a prayer, "Your will be done," be ready. That's beyond praying for patience. Anybody ever prayed for patience? The Lord will give you lots of situations for you to practice and learn patience. I don't pray for patience anymore. Right? But when you look at the scriptures, the disciples were scared a lot. This is one of those times where the disciples were scared. They're hiding out. They're in a room. Jesus has already been resurrected, and they know he's been resurrected. But they're in this weird place where he's been resurrected. They don't know all they need to know yet, but they're still hiding behind doors and locking themselves in. Right? They are at a point where they're scared. They're physically scared for themselves, and they're still gathered together, but they're scared. Right? These are his followers. They're scared. And it's very interesting to me that there are other points in the scriptures where they were scared too. And so that's point one, is following Jesus is scary. This prelude from last week. Point two is following Jesus is unpredictable. You know, and the example I used there was when he was off healing Jairus' daughter, or it wasn't Jairus' daughter, I think it was the centurion's daughter. Lazarus died. And the disciples are trying to get him to come back, and they said, "Well, Lazarus is dead. Why aren't you going?" He says, "I'm not going. We're going to do what we're going to do here, and then we'll go see Lazarus." And when they get back to Lazarus, and Lazarus is dead, you got to believe the disciples are, "What are you? Why did we stay here? He died." That's unpredictable, because people don't die generally on Jesus' watch. And that was an unpredictable thing for them, because they would have thought that Lazarus, being Jesus' friend, he would have ran back. But then the greater thing he did was he raised Lazarus from the dead. Which led me to the third point, was that following Jesus is totally predictable once you understand the principles he operates under of love and compassion and these attributes of the Lord that you got to, when you put it all together, it's sort of like when people try to make stories about sometimes the Gospels don't line up. And well, they do line up. You're looking at it in a wrong way. You're trying to figure things out that are holy, and it looks like this is a truth and this is a truth, and these truths don't go together. Well, they do when the Lord looks at them, because he's got a higher view than we have, and things that are unpredictable are predictable when you see what the Lord's rationale or his greater plan is. And so those are the three points last week. Here we are this week. We're in this room, and the disciples are yet again scared. And the scripture says they're scared, right? They're scared. They're hiding behind a locked door. And, you know, no locked door is going to keep Jesus out, right? He supernaturally presents himself, and he says, "Peace to you. Peace to you." And that's a welcome, right? The word is shalom, and it's wholeness. It's a greeting, but it's also a greeting of wholeness. And he says, "Peace to you," and they're startled. They think that they've seen a ghost. They think they've seen some sort of spirit, and they are startled. And so if they were scared or being locked behind the door, now they're really scared, because they were locked behind a door, and then this spirit shows up. How'd he get in there? And it says, "Peace to you guys." And they're startled, and then they realize it's Jesus. And then I find it funny. I love the sense of humor that the Lord has. Verse 21, he says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you.'" Right? He showed them the wholeness side. He showed them his hands to let them know, "Hey guys, it is really me. I have been resurrected. I am back. Calm down." But then he gives them that same greeting again. It's almost like, "I know I scared the heck out of you. Here I am. It's real. Peace to you again. Calm down. Calm down, guys." And there's a lot to being a disciple of the Lord where we just got to kind of anticipate that. There are people that I think like following Jesus, and they expect that the blacktop paved path of no surprises, and once I'm in the boat, it's calm and there's no storms. I'm not going to be scared. You know, there's only one thing that really scares me, and that's what I don't know the Lord's going to do next. Nothing else in this world scares me anymore. Nothing else. The evil one does not have any chance to scare me anymore, right? Because I'm so grounded in the Holy One that all the other stuff that used to scare me doesn't. But I am scared of your will be done, because I don't know what he's going to say to do next. And I don't know what situation he's going to put me in. But I think that's an interesting thing here, that they're scared. He gives them peace, but then he doesn't let them rest long. He says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So I know you guys are scared. I know you're hiding in a locker room. Get ready, guys. You're going back out. He sent me. You worked with me for 3+ years. Guess what you guys are doing? You guys are going back out there. You're getting behind these locked doors. I am sending you back out. They're scared. Just went up again, didn't they? Yeah, but you got killed. Yes, I did. All right? But he sent them back out. That was the commission. He sent them back out. So the moral of the story is, following Jesus means there's going to be some times where you're going to be scared. Amen? You okay with that?
Yes.
All right. Some of you may not be comfortable with that. I want to lay the groundwork for what's going on here with the disciples. Then we'll move to the second component of this, which is doubt. And we've got Thomas, and, you know, he got the name Doubting Thomas. And it's okay to doubt. The Lord has followers that have faith because they've seen it, and they operate faith, and they just operate based in faith. You know, they trust the Lord for things that aren't seen, right? They trust him to do things that he hasn't done yet, but we just know based on his attributes, his love and his compassion, we just know he's going to do certain things. Don't know when. I know he's going to do these things. I just have faith. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to let him do that in his time. But then there's others that doubt. I don't know if he is going to do that. I don't know if he wants to do that. You know, there's the I don't knowers. And that's okay too. The Lord says, if I have to prove it to you, I'll prove it to you. And he proved it to Thomas, didn't he? And he will prove things to us. And there are times that I ask the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I have faith. I need some encouragement. Right? Send me some encouragement. And he does. He'll send me encouragement. I'll get an email from someone I haven't seen in a long time or heard from, and they'll say, send me an email. I'm like, wow, that is totally cool, Lord. That is totally cool. And so there's room for doubt being a disciple also. And it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask the Lord. He's loving enough to say, hey, I need help, right? When they came down off after the transfiguration, they came down off the mountain. There was the Father there, and he had his son acting out with demons in him and everything. And he says, help me if you can. And Jesus says, if I can. What do you mean, if I can? Right? And the Father says, well, help my unbelief. And Jesus says, now you got it. The Father asked him to help him with his unbelief. And Jesus granted that. He blessed that, right? So it's okay to have doubt. It's okay to have periods of unbelief. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with us. Just means that we're probably in a patch of growing. We've been in this place where I knew Jesus here, and I was a baby Christian. I was in the first and second class discipleship class, and now I'm in life where I'm over here in discipleship 4 or 5. And, you know, generally with that comes a little bit of being scared. It comes a little bit of, you know, I'm not sure what's going on here. I got a little bit of unbelief. I'm out here where I don't normally act as a disciple. And Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And my personal walk has shown that he always blesses that. He always blesses that because of the commission that he put on us, that he put on these guys. He says, as the Father sent me, I send you. And that just wasn't for that group. That was for that group to train a group, to train a group, to train a group. The Apostle Paul, he sends a note to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, train those guys as I taught you, and train them to train others. All right, there's 4 levels of training there that Paul's talking about. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to others, and others to others. That's the discipleship model. And there's experience and growth all along that. Right? The Apostle Paul walked in a lot of great faith. Right? People were healed when they were close to him because they were close to his shadow. Paul and Peter, the shadows, those guys were huge fathers of the faith, right? My guess is the guy that was fourth out, he probably wasn't doing that kind of stuff just yet. But he knew that Paul was, and they grow in their faith, and they grow in confidence in the Lord, and they start to walk in that faith, and those things start to happen. You with me so far? All right. Praise the Lord. And then we get to the part that makes that stuff possible. The Holy Spirit. The title of this sermon is Holy Spirit in Action. And it's pretty cool here when Jesus in verse 22, when he had said this. This is after he blessed him and after he said, as the Father sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And so that was the commissioning, right? That was a commissioning of sort. That was he was frocking them. Whatever ceremony you talk about going through, that was him saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And then we know later that he said, hey, go tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit, until you're endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Tarry for a while. And he had talked to them previously about, it's going to be to your advantage when I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send a helper. Right? So it's going to be to your advantage. It'll be better for you to have the Holy Spirit with you than me, Jesus, with you. And so he sent them that Holy Spirit, and that's what enabled them to go do these things with boldness. You with me? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's an interesting, there are six verses here, but my Bible, different Bibles call it different things. It's called Christ's epistle or Christ's letter in some Bibles. And really what this talks about, this scripture talks about us as Christians walking in the faith. And as we walk in the faith, we become a living letter. We become a living epistle. An epistle is a letter. That's what they sent to these churches. Paul wrote many of them. And this six verse thing is kind of a rough six. It doesn't flow as well as some of the scripture we read a lot, but I just want to walk through this, because this is part of what you see when you see disciples living the talk. Okay? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Okay? So first we have this ministry. This is Jesus commissioning these folks. Okay, so they're in this ministry. They're commissioned as the Father sent him. He's sending them others. They're operating under the Great Commission, and they have this great mercy. Great mercy. One of the biggest gifts we can carry is mercy. Right? Mercy and love are like two of the biggest things that we can go and just unpackage and drop off on somebody, or let it just fall on somebody. Right? Judgment's easy. The world gives judgment. The world gives negative feedback, and the world gives criticism. If we go around peddling mercy and grace and love, that'll light a fire on ministry, right? That'll just put fire in a ministry, and the Holy Spirit's what enables us to do that, okay? So that's verse 1. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay, so we have renounced the hidden things of shame. All right, that's, what does that mean? We've renounced the hidden things of shame. We sang the song about freeing people from prison, and we sang a song about the blood of Jesus. How in the world does the blood of Jesus overcome these things? How does it happen? That's a theological question. It happens by us going out and overcoming these things, right? It happens by us going out, interacting with people that are in jail, sometimes physically in jail, sometimes emotionally or spiritually in jail. And we encounter that with love and grace. We encounter that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'll get to that in a second. I'm going to talk about power and authority. We sang power in the blood. The other cool thing is there's authority in the blood. And we'll come back to power and authority in a minute here. My mind is starting to race, and so I'll try to stay on track here. But verse 4, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So if this gospel message of Jesus Christ and this salvation and the things that are available through him, this grace and mercy are veiled, if it's veiled, they're perishing. They're dying. So you've got people that it's not veiled from, and they're not perishing. And then you've got people that this gospel is veiled from, and they're perishing. And when I talk about this being a sermon that should boldly send folks, it should bother you that there are people that are perishing because this gospel is veiled from them, right? That should bother you that there's people that are going to go to hell, and that there are people struggling with addictions and burdens and things in this life that we have the power and authority to free them of if we just stepped out and tried to do something different. Okay, and so that's the boldly sending us. So check this out. Verse 4, they're perishing, okay, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So what he's saying is those folks are perishing because their minds are blinded. Their minds are blind. We're talking about emotional bondage here. You with me? Did I lose you? You with me? Emotional bondage. They haven't been freed. And I'm going to give you an example of this. So, well, I'll give you two stories. So the first, you have a policeman and you have a robber in an alley. They both have a gun, right? The gun represents power. Policeman gun, robber gun. They both have power. Who has the real authority to use the gun? The policeman. He has the authority, right? You talk about qualities and powers, right? We know that there are good powers and there are bad powers. Christ represents light. Evil is represented by darkness. Satan, Christ, darkness. You have power and authority. There's power on both sides. Satan has power also. Christ has power. The difference is Christ has authority. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, God the Father has given me all power and authority. All power, all authority, right? Satan has some power. He doesn't have all the power. Satan has no authority. He has no authority. So he has this power that he does have, and that power is greater than us, but it's not greater than Christ in us, okay? So the human part of us has no authority. And the power that Satan has can take us over. When Christ is in us, when His Holy Spirit is in us, that's God in us, that power and authority resides in us and gives us power and other unclean things. You with me? All right, teaching point one. So I'm going to come back over here. I was in this discussion yesterday with this guy, and I don't want to betray any confidences, but this is the cool stuff. This is the cool, crazy stuff of serving the Lord. And this is stuff every one of you can do with a little practice. Okay, I'm talking to this guy, and he's about 30 years old. He's had this pain. He's had this pain in his body for about 15 years. He's been to doctors. Doctors can't tell him what's wrong. He's had surgeries. Pain isn't going away. And so we're talking, and I'm asking, well, what happened? You know, and we're going through some things. And come to find out that when he was a teenager, young adult, he had made this statement where he challenged Satan to prove to him that he was real. Right? Crazy teenager thing. Prove to me that you're real. I don't believe you. That's a crazy thing to say. But he did that. And when he did that, he gave an invitation. We talk about invitations. I give an invitation for people to receive Christ. He basically did a self-invitation to receive some uncleanness from Satan. He invited Satan to prove him bad things. Right? He invited Satan into his life by saying, Satan, I don't think you're real. Prove to me you're real. That's crazy. Right? That should scare you. That should make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. He told me this, and I said, oh, that's good. That's good, because now I know what we're working with here. And I says, can I say a prayer with you? And he says, yeah. I says, here's what I think. And I told him, I said, I think you invited, this is the opposite of a salvation call. You invited Satan into your life, and here's what I want to do. I says, you're a believer in Christ, right? And he says, yeah, I committed my life to Christ a number of years back. And I said, have you ever renounced that invitation to Satan? He says, no. And I says, you know Christ has the power and authority to take that out. And he says, yeah, but I don't know how to do that. How does that work? And I says, here's the deal. I says, you're going to renounce this. In Jesus' name, we're going to renounce this invitation. We're going to rescind it. We're going to chop it off the roots. And we're going to renounce anything that Satan has done in your life as a result of that invitation in Jesus' name. And I walked him through that, and he goes, wow. And I kid you not, we were in the church, and we heard this bang at the back of the church. And this guy's girlfriend was with us, and her eyes get about this big. And she says, what was that? And I said, I think that was something leaving. I think it was something leaving. And this is freaking some of you out, okay? My guess is this is freaking some of you out. This guy, he said to me, he says, I feel light. He says, the pain. I says, where's the pain? He says, the pain's gone. He says, I feel light. He says, I feel like a huge load just came off me. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, that was a short prayer. It was a short prayer, and all we did is insert Christ's authority into this thing that he just let linger in his life. And it was gone. And the cool thing, so we wrapped up and we walked outside. We had this easel sitting by the back door, by the entry door. The legs of the easel were broken off. The legs of the easel were broken off. And I said, praise to the Jesus Christ. Praise to the Lord. Right? Now, there's supernatural stuff you see on TV with lots of theater and all this other stuff. And then there's this kind of stuff. Easy prayers like that where you talk to people and people do crazy things as teenagers. They do crazy things as adults. And just little things like that. And all you got to do is claim the glory of Jesus Christ and just sever those things at the roots. Right? And I'm not talking anything anti-biblical here, right? When you look at Jesus, when he healed people, you know, it might offend people. I didn't tell this dude that he had a demon in him. I didn't use terminology like that. I said he had a stronghold. Right? I don't know if it was a demon. I don't know what was there, right? It was a stronghold of something, but I just did what Jesus does with his authority. It wasn't Glenn. Glenn had no authority. It was Jesus' authority. I said, look, pray in Jesus' name. Renounce this thing in Jesus' name. And see what happens. But I can tell you, something broke the legs off the easel as it was heading out the church door. And I said, praise the Lord. And so there's this walk that we can walk as Christians to get this stuff out of our lives. And a lot of us can do that. We're put in positions to do that. And all we got to do is ask. The downside, if I said that prayer with that guy and nothing happened, there's nothing lost, right? Hey, I prayed it. Nothing happened? Okay, praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. But when you pray it and the Lord does his thing and he helps a guy like that, who he helps one of his children, right? That's glorious. And so it's that real life stuff that's how we can go be disciples. And many of us have family members. Many of us may have children and grandchildren that aren't walking with the Lord or that may be struggling. Have a casual discussion with them sometime. Hey, where are you at with the Lord? What are you feeling? Can I pray over what you're feeling? You're feeling depressed? Let me pray. Let me, in Jesus' name, ask that depression to leave. Right? Look for excuses to pray for people. Let God do his thing. Invite him in. Right? We're good about feeding people and clothing them and everything. I'll tell you, the real needs people have are these emotional and spiritual needs. Those are the real needs. And some of them, we've just never done the opportunity to ask. We don't step out there, and we don't do that. So I would encourage you to do that. And the other thing I would encourage you to do is pray for one another. Pray for God to endue us with wisdom and power, and step out and practice that stuff. All right? So words of knowledge. This morning I got a word of knowledge, and you don't have to, I'm not going to embarrass anybody here, but there may be somebody here with a right kneecap that has been hurting, and my sense is the Lord wants to heal that. And so in Jesus' name, if there's somebody here that has their right knee has been bothering them right behind the kneecap, I speak healing in Jesus' name. I would rebuke whatever that pain and sickness is, and I just pray complete restoration of that knee and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't have to identify. It doesn't matter to me. I'm serving the Lord because he gives me this stuff. It's going to go stale, and I'm just sharing that with you. So what I'd like to do is we're going to, we'll try something new here. I'm going to play a song, and if there's anybody that would like to come forward and pray at the altar, if there's anybody that would like prayer, this is what we call this a time of impartation and prayer. And so I'm gonna start a song in the back, and if you want to come forward for prayer, I'd be happy to pray for you. Some of your other elders, other leaders here could pray for you for whatever your needs may be. If you just want a fresh touch from the Lord, I'm happy to pray for anybody that just needs a fresh touch from the Lord. My view is that we're the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And there are a lot of brides limping around these days. And they're limping around like they're old maids instead of young brides. And We're the bride of Christ, and He loves us, and that, and we should be vibrant. I don't believe it's His will that the church is not a vibrant church, and the church does better under persecution than it does not. And this is a persecuted church right here. Either it's persecuted sometimes internally because of unbelief, and other times just persecuted externally. And in the United States now, the church is on the decline in a big way. That's another thing that breaks my heart, because I'm all about rejuvenating churches and rejuvenating disciples. And so if you just want a fresh touch from the Lord, and I don't need to pray for you, right? You can pray in that spot, ask the Lord just to touch you. His Holy Spirit is in this place. He's good, and He honors that. I mean, Scripture says, knock and the door will be answered. Ask and you shall receive. Again, it's not me, it's Him. And it's just yielding yourself to Him, saying, Lord, okay, I'm asking, show me. I'm asking, provide me, strengthen me, make me the vibrant bride that You want me to be. So if you would, just start that song. And, this song is called I See the One. This is a song about revelation. I love this song because I can picture the Lord on the throne, which is where He sits right now. And He's an awesome God. And just meditate over this and do what you feel the Lord leading you to do. And we'll just spend some time in prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your presence here. We love You and we praise You. Thank You, Father. I'm going to let this roll into one more song. This next song is one that it talks about the great love that the Father has for us and the great love that we can have for Him. And so I know this may be uncomfortable for some of you, but hey, just give it a try. And if you want to feel a touch from the Father, again, just invite Him in to show you His great love. Love and compassion is the message of the gospel. Jesus didn't go to the cross because He didn't love mankind. He poured His love out through His sacrifice. And this song talks about that. So praise the Lord. And then we'll wrap things up here, just to give you a warning. This is not ever-ending thing here, but just a chance to experience something different and just glorify the Lord. And Father, if there are those here that need a fresh touch from You, Lord, Just work in their hearts, Lord. You know where each of us are at. Reveal yourself to us in a loving and gracious and compassionate way. Open. If anybody feels led to come up and pray, you're welcome to come up. We can pray for you, or you can just fellowship with the Lord up here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise you. I'll wrap things up here. I'm going to give you the benediction, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to look upon you with favor and grant you peace. I pray that everybody has a blessed week and blessed fellowship with the Lord. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a blessed week, everybody. You're welcome to stay as long as you want in fellowship. And Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.